Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Memorial Day weekend, or as it's known around here, the weekend to bring the old guy preacher off the bench. My name is Andy Lott. I'm known as Pastor Emeritus here at Glenmar, and I'm discovering that being Pastor Emeritus is a lot like being a utility player on a baseball team. Now, if you're not a baseball fan, a utility player is one who's not quite good enough to play every day, but is nevertheless valuable because they can play many different positions. And that's kind of, in other words, to fill in where needed. And that's kind of where I find myself these days as Pastor Emeritus, and it's something that I'm very glad to do in order to support the great team of pastors that we have here at Glenmar. I think you might want to applaud that. In this case, I'm here this weekend because Pastor Mandy is off for a few days for medical reasons, and that leaves Pastor Jen and Pastor Anna running in every direction, so the old guy is off the bench. But it is Memorial Day weekend, so before I launch any further into the sermon, let's just take a moment to offer our thanks in prayer to God for those who gave their lives in the service of our country. Gracious and loving God, we are richly blessed to live in this land of the free. We give you thanks for those who gave their lives that we might enjoy this life. We remember them with thanksgiving. We honor their sacrifice. We pray for their eternal well-being with you and for those they left behind as we offer you our thanks for the ones who have gone before us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, actually, the Memorial Day is a fairly recent holiday in its present form. Actually, as recently as 1971, Memorial Day became a holiday on the fourth Monday in May. It originated just after the Civil War as something known as Decoration Day. And Decoration Day was a day on which families of those who had died went to the cemetery and decorated their graves with flowers and flags. When I was growing up, many people still referred to the day as Decoration Day, and it was celebrated on May 30th. The day was chosen because it was one of the few days in May that didn't commemorate a major battle in the Civil War. Well, after World War I, Decoration Day took on even more significance, and finally in 1971 it was declared a national holiday and shifted to the fourth Monday in May, a move that many veterans groups have actually lobbied to overturn because of their fear that people would forget the reason for the day and just regard it as the first long weekend of the summer and enjoy a time for a break, for barbecues, for parties with family, and for time at the pool. And in fact, that's pretty much what's happened, isn't it? We look forward to this day, to a time to lean back, relax, catch a break, because we are, for the most part, so bone-weary tired. God knows we can use a break, given all that's going on in our world, in our nation, in our community, and even here in Glenmar Church. And so we come up with things like, I'm exhausted, I'm stressed to the limit, I'm bone tired, I feel drained, I'm running on fumes, I'm on the edge of burnout. Maybe you've heard some of those phrases, as I have in the last weeks, or maybe, like me, you've even uttered them yourself. We're overcome with what Max Lucado calls what-ifs and howls. What if this happens? How will I deal with this? What if it rains at my wedding, Max Lucado asks. How will I know when to discipline my kids? What if I marry a guy who snores? I thought that would sound familiar to a few people. How will we pay for our baby's college tuition? What if after all my dieting, they learn that lettuce is fattening and chocolate isn't? But we do play that game, don't we? What if? How will? What if things get worse? How will I survive? How will I overcome this sense of tiredness and frustration and helplessness? What we need is something that will release us from our weariness. Give us the freedom from the burdens and the worries that overwhelm us and make us feel so tired. And I would venture a guess that maybe even that's why we're here. Now, I know all the stories, you know, when you ask people, well, why do you go to church? And some people will say, of course, well, I'm just here for the children. I want them to have the same kind of experience that I had as a youngster so it will stick with them when they grow up. Or others who will say, I'm here to recharge my battery so I can make it through another week. Or I'm here to visit with my friends. Or, as the children would tell you, I'm here for the donut holes. But I suspect that at a deeper level, many of us are really here because we're seeking something we haven't been able to find anywhere else. What we need is something that goes deeper, something or someone that will help free us from the exhaustion, from the worries, from the anxiety and the stress that weigh us down. Well, there's good news, because if that's why you're here, you have come to the right place. You have come to the place where we worship a God who in Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but for me that sounds like music to my ears. Although I must admit to being a little puzzled to hear Jesus go on and say that the way that we find that rest is to take upon ourselves something known as a yoke. Now, this is, I've spelled it out up there, so you don't confuse this with the little yellow center in an egg, okay? This is a different kind, and many of us have probably never seen a yoke like that. And so it's a little puzzling to me at first to hear Jesus invite us to come to him and gain rest for our souls, and then to say we need to take on a yoke, which generally is associated with doing more work. But maybe in this case, as in so many others, a little biblical knowledge will help us to understand better. We can't really know what was in Jesus' mind when he said this, but we can know some of the ways that yokes were used in biblical times and even since. And so one of the most important functions of a yoke is that it keeps us moving in the right direction. Keeps us moving in the right direction. Well, of course, today we have, to help us with that, something known as a GPS. Now, I must confess to you that my GPS and I are on uneasy terms. My wife would be the first to tell you that there are many times when I argue with the GPS. Now, I'm working to recover from that and learn to trust the GPS. And I was doing pretty well until this last week. Just a week ago, I was traveling from our grandson's lacrosse game in Western Howard County at the Western Regional Park to stop at Sun Nurseries on the way home. And because I was having to use some back roads that I hadn't traveled before, I turned to the GPS. And just as Sun Nurseries came into view straight ahead, the voice on the GPS said, "Turn left." That was wrong. If I had turned left, I would have gone away from the nursery. I went straight. So that set me back. But then, to compound matters and make it even worse in my recovery, this past week, I went to an Orioles game. Now, that in itself is cause for concern. They did finally win one last night after 7 straight losses. But the Orioles are doing anything they can to get people in the seats. And so this last week, they had a senior special. They offered people of a certain age a seat in the shade because they knew our dermatologist would be unhappy if we sat in the sun. And get this, and a blanket. So I went to the Orioles game, I got a seat in the shade, and a quite nice blanket, actually. It's nice to know the Orioles are taking care of the senior citizens. But back to the GPS story. On the way to the game, I went to this game with some friends, also old guys like me, so we could all get our seat in the shade and our blankets. And as we were traveling up 95 toward the stadium, the person who was navigating for us, using a trusty GPS, said, "I think we'd get there quicker if we took this shortcut." And it seemed to be working. The GPS could see the traffic. But what it didn't see was the train. So there we sat at the at-grade crossing while the train went by, and it took us even longer to get. So I'm still struggling with trusting my GPS. But you know, in all seriousness, the reason that I have trouble with a GPS is because I want to be the one who decides where I go. I want to be in control. This last week, we cleaned out a car in our family, and my wife presented me with this stack of maps and said, "We don't really need these anymore, do we?" And in truth, we don't, because we have a GPS. But it was hard for me to give them up, because I like to be the one who looks at the map and decides where I'm going. And that's the way we are, isn't it? Not just when we're in the car, but in every aspect of our lives. We want to be the ones to decide the direction for our lives. And I'm with the Apostle Paul on this one, though. In the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul says this, "I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." There's something about our human condition that over and over again moves us in wrong directions. We want to be free from anxiety and worry and stress, but somehow our decisions tend to lead us deeper and deeper into them. What we need is something to help move us in the right, healthful, life-giving direction, and the yoke of Christ does just that. We're reminded in the 23rd Psalm of the one who leads us beside still waters, who restores our soul, who leads me in right paths. As Max Lucado reminds us, God isn't behind us yelling, "Go!" God is ahead of us, urging us to come, to follow him. He is in front, clearing the path, showing the way to go. Being yoked, joined with Christ, helps us go in right paths. Now, in all honesty, we have to acknowledge that a yoke does enable us to work more efficiently, that is, to get more done with less effort. Some of you may be familiar with a phenomenon known as burnout. But if you've read a little or studied a little about burnout, you know that burnout is not the result of working too hard. If that were the case, anyone who goes on a mission trip would be thoroughly burned out, working from sun up to sundown. But they come back energized. The difference is burnout results from doing work that doesn't seem to make a difference, that doesn't produce discernible results. Working hard is not the cause. And when we align ourselves with Jesus, when we follow Him, we find that our efforts produce fulfillment and joy and meaning and make a difference. Those who team with Jesus find their lives and their efforts making a difference in the world and in their lives. In the Bible, a yoke was often a metaphor for subservience or obedience. And taking Jesus' yoke upon us means that we follow Him. The question is not whether we'll wear a yoke or not. We're going to have one, like it or not. We're going to serve something or someone. We're going to follow something or someone. The key for us, if we seek rest for our souls, is to make sure that the one we follow is the one who said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are carrying heavy burdens." Something very important about a yoke is that it lets us carry a heavier load. When we feel overwhelmed, it's good to be reminded. As an old preacher many years ago put it, this is a guy named Stoddard Kennedy, he said, "If you are right with God and have God's peace in your heart, it will take a lot to break you. If you are wrong with God, every little burden will seem heavy." If you're right with God, it will take a lot to break you. If you're wrong with God, every little burden will seem heavy. You know, I was an aspiring athlete all the way through school, and I remember my coaches in lots of different sports saying, "When the going gets tough, the tough get going." But that was a symptom of our DIY society, do it yourself, reach deep within yourself. And we tend to be conditioned to do that in all of life's struggles, when what the saying needs to be is, when the going gets tough, we turn to God, who enables us to bear more as we are linked with God in Christ. When we allow Christ and others in the body of Christ to share our burdens, they seem much less burdensome. Perhaps the most important function of a yoke is that it links us with one who shares the load. Centuries ago, it was Martin Luther who said, "Whoever takes on Jesus' yoke has the help of a good companion." See, most yokes are not equal. One of the links is usually larger than the other, because the practice invariably is to link the stronger, more experienced animal with the weaker, less experienced one. And the yoke of Christ is exactly like that. It links us with one whose strength is greatest in our weakness, so that we are not carrying the load alone. Trying to carry life's burdens alone is exhausting. But when we share our burdens, when we cast our burdens upon the Lord, we find that our burdens are lessened. When we are yoked to Christ, we are never alone. To be yoked to Jesus means that everywhere we go with Jesus by our side. Everything we do with Jesus by our side. There's an old hymn that some of you will remember that asks us, "Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere?" To which we can say, "You bet. There's troubles everywhere." And then the question comes, can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? The good news, my friends, is that because He lives, there is such a one. What a friend, the hymn concludes, we have in Jesus all our sins and griefs to bear. I have a feeling that among us here this morning, there are some, maybe many, who are very weary, weak, and heavy laden. Some who are carrying very heavy loads. Some of those burdens we've been carrying around for a lifetime. Burdens of guilt, of anger, of depression, pain, and sorrow. Some we may have just picked up in the last month or week or even as recently as yesterday. But all of them weigh us down. And the freedom that we seek from these burdens is found only in the one who gave up his freedom so that we might find ours. On this Memorial Day weekend, as you give thanks for those who died in the service of our country so that we might be free, my prayer is that you will also set aside some time to give thanks for the one who died so that you might be free from the crushing weight of the burdens that weigh us down, so that we might find rest from the endless wants and weariness, from worry and hopelessness and guilt, and to allow yourself to remember that by your side, every moment of every day is the one who leads you beside still waters and who restores your soul. The invitation is for you. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Because he lives, we can be free. Amen.